What I'd like to talk to you about is a little bit of an extension of what Mark Corey presented, and we've had a lot of good discussions about some of the high-performance gin machinery. We're getting higher and higher capacities, ginning basically the same amount of cotton year after year. Some years we have larger harvests in the U.S., but worldwide we're seeing a smaller amount of gin plants ginning a larger amount of cotton. And so we developed this larger, wider, higher capacity machinery. And one of the things we want to know is what is happening in that machinery. What kind of performance are we getting? And so we set out this year in an installation in the upper area of Texas, the Northern Panhandle, Carson County Gin, to do some comparisons between ginning lines in that feature a variety of machinery. Now, first and foremost, we did not get as many samples as we would have liked to have gotten or to get statistical significance. So I give that disclaimer to my esteemed colleagues in the USDA. Second of all, some of the areas where we took samples that we'll talk about in the paper, we were not able to get enough samples of each line to where we could have direct comparisons. The one we were most interested in getting were between the tandem and single link cleaners running at two different speeds, and we did get some results from that, and we'll discuss that. I'd like to thank my co-authors. Especially would like to thank Keith Mixon of Carson County Gin, who was gracious enough to allow us into his facility. Now, at the end of the day, with some of the issues we had during sampling, he was kind of at the edge of gracious and a little impatient, but nonetheless, through good customers like Keith, we're able to gather information and hopefully use that to the benefit of the industry. A little bit of background on Carson County Gin. It was originally constructed in 2004. It was originally constructed as a 4170 gin plant with a premier doorless up-packing press. Its pre-cleaning at the time of the initial construction was two stages of drying and split 120-inch wide pre-cleaning. Incline cleaners over stacked stick machines in the first stage, incline cleaners over trash masters in the second stage. The link cleaning originally consisted of superjet pneumatic link cleaners behind the gin stands, followed by single sentinel link cleaners for saw type link cleaning. And this is a picture of the gin as it was originally constructed. As is the case with many gins, increased volume, differences in machinery, improvements in machinery, a number of different upgrades were done at Carson County. In 2005, in the number one and number three lines, we added sentinel link cleaners in the B position. In 2008, two of the original sentinel designs were upgraded to sentinel two designs with a different separator cylinder feeding the system. In 2010, as we know, to gin the cotton, you've got to be able to clean the cotton. And when you get into heavier trash, it's important to be able to get as much trash before the gin stands out as possible, so they installed split 120-inch wide horizontal cleaners in the pre-cleaning system between the first stage tower dryers and the first stage incline cleaners over stick machines. And then in 2014, we installed in the number one and number three lines 222 saw gins with model 700 feeders in those lines. This shows you what the tandem versus single sentinel installations. You'll see in the foreground a single sentinel, and then you'll see the tandem sentinel located behind with the bypass valves. And here you'll recognize this picture from Mark's presentation. This is the one of the 222 gin stands with 170 gin stands on either side. This one's in the number three line. Well, what we set out to do with this testing protocol, in fairness to our colleagues at Case IH, last year at the test we did at Silver Creek, we did some testing on some John Deere rounds. This year, it was fortuitous that one of the modules we tested was a stripper harvested, burr extracted, conventional module, one-piece module, while the other module, so to speak, was two half modules produced on a Case IH picker. And we'll see some interesting results about that and the trash levels in that seed cotton, which I found quite interesting. The link cleaners in the number three and number four lines were run at 1,200 RPM saw cylinders. We had done a little bit of work on this at a gin in Brazil years ago, and we wanted to see if we'd find any difference in between a conventional 1,000 RPM lint cleaner saw speed and the 1,200 RPM saw speed. We took incoming and final seed moisture content on the seed cotton, and what we did is we took three samples at each of the different areas that we had. Now, some of the areas where we don't have the comparison data, we did not get due to either a machine kick out or whatever. When you're sampling in these airlines, unintended consequences, I hate to use the word chokage, but unintended consequences happen. And so those of you who are jenners in the back go, yeah, we know all about those unintended consequences. But that is what we set out to do. And here's a typical line showing, in this case, the tandem installation. We took, of course, seed cotton samples at the module feeder for moisture content and fractionation. We took feeder apron samples. We took gin seed samples. And I talked to Greg Holt at the break, and I never received the results back. He sent them off, and he's checking where the residual lint samples, where those results came from. I hope to get those back, and we're going to be doing some subsequent testing on another gin, and so I look forward to getting that information for comparison of the 222s versus the 170s, but unfortunately, I don't have that information today. We've got the sampling at the gin hood, at the exit of the Superjet, and at the exit of both lint cleaners, the A lint cleaner and the B lint cleaner. We did fractionation on the seed cotton and moisture content. We're done at Greg's lab in Lubbock, the gin lab. We had aphis testing done on the lint samples because we wanted to get a little bit more accurate short fiber content than what we get with HVI, so I opted to have that done at the Fiber Biopolymer Research Institute in Lubbock. And then, of course, we tabulated the results with Excel. So, drum roll, please. Greg and them gave us the moisture content both on a wet and dry basis of the incoming modules. You can see, not too wet. The modules were in pretty good condition. They had some trash, but as far as moisture content on both the stripper harvested conventional and the Case IH picker dual modules, we had a decent moisture contents. For some reason, the final moisture contents at the feeder apron, knowing me, I probably misplaced them, but they're gone somewhere. We do have fractionation. And here we'll look at that. The conventional module, the stripper harvested, burr extracted, was module 280, while the two half modules were module 282. And if you'll look, this is one of the things I found the most interesting, is through the pre-cleaning system and then the incoming seed cotton trash content, the burr extracted is not much, and in some areas, less trashy than the picker cotton, which I was very encouraged by because, you know, for years with stripper harvesting, if you didn't clean that cotton bringing it to the gin, you had a lot more trash with which that gin had to contend. And so we were very pleased in the amount of cleaning that was happening before the cotton ever got to the gin. So these results, you can see the breakdown is very comparable, even though you had two different harvesting methods. This is the area we were the most interested in looking at. First, we're going to look at the conventional burr extracted module. Lines 1 and 2 operating at 1,000 RPM, lines 3 and 4 operating at 1,200 RPM, and then the 1B and 3B lint cleaners, each operating at 1,000 and 1,200 RPM, respectively. If you'll look at the NEPs per gram, one of the areas, of course, NEP creation is something that we're very conscious about, as well as short fiber content with any type of saw type lint cleaning, especially when you do tandem lint cleaning. It's a reason why so many gens want to, except under the worst conditions, have to use tandem saw type lint cleaning. But you see, in comparison, the NEP count in the number one line after one stage of saw lint cleaning, and then you see the increase in NEPs as you go into a second stage of saw lint cleaning. And you saw a comparable increase in the number three line. But when you look at the total NEP counts after two stages at 1,200 RPM, we actually, in this case, and this is truly a function, and there's no question about it, more testing, more samples, we would probably see a much more definable trend as far as the NEP count between 1,000 RPM and 1,200. I was not certain what we'd see, whether we'd see more cleaning, more NEPs, less NEPs, but what we wanted to see was if there were any trends. And you can see the short fiber content going from the upper 10s to the low to mid 12% on the conventional burr extracted module. Now, if we take a look at module 282, you don't see as much in the picker modules after two stages of saw length cleaning, the total number of NEPs. You see a comparable amount in the first stage saw type length cleaning, whether at 1,000 RPM or 1,200 RPM. You actually have, in some cases, 398 versus 370 on the length cleaner. And the first indication, even though the Sentinel is not a controlled bat saw type length cleaner, nonetheless, you are putting that cotton onto a high-speed saw. So you can expect, at that feed point, some fiber damage and some short fiber content creation. But we did, more than anything, wanted to see, and we're going to be doing some testing next week at another gen on the High Plains where we've got a tandem Sentinel set up, and we want to get before and after the saw length cleaners A and B and get a lot of repetitive samples to where we get a more quantified amount of how much damage is being done, what kind of effect it's having on uniformity and all that, and get some HVI data as well as the APHIS data so we have both to evaluate. When you get down to it, what we saw was no statistical difference. We didn't do any statistical testing, and the number of samples was too small to generate anything other than but we didn't see any substantial difference one way or the other. In one line, we'd see a little better cleaning, the other a little less, and then in the next sample, the other way around. The thing that I found the most interesting was that the burr extracted stripper cotton was essentially almost as clean as and we knew there would be more trash, but there was very little additional trash in the burr extracted stripper cotton. So that will be interesting now that we're going to see the John Deere rounds in the stripper in the High Plains. Will be very interesting to see what kind of trash is being brought to the gen. The comment I got last year from Jonathan McBride at Silver Creek was, it was more consistent. If it's harvested well, it's consistently good. If it's not harvested well and at the right times, it's more consistently bad. So I'll be interested to see what kind of results we experience with the stripper harvested burr extracted John Deere rounds on the High Plains. And finally, we definitely want to do more sampling, and we'll be doing more sampling next week. An unwritten conclusion I have is I do want to commend my co-author, Russell Sutton, on the exemplary job he did in getting hamburgers the day we got to the gin. He buys a great hamburger. And so with that, I want to thank again Carson County Gin, the Gin Lab in Lubbock, the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute, not only my co-authors, but the team members in the gin crew who helped us with the sampling. You know, we had some ups and downs that day, and I know emotions ran high sometimes, but that's the only way we make progress, and having that good cooperation, that good help is what allows us to have these dialogues and talk about things. Thank you very much.